Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am your host, Heather Hansen O'Neill, and today's quote is by Olympic champion Michael Johnson. The mind is absolutely instrumental in achieving results, even for athletes. Sports psychology is extremely important when you're winning and losing races by hundredths and even thousandths of a second. Good quote. I love it. So I also love our guest today. So Melissa Ryder Carson combines her extensive experience in HR leadership with the discipline and resilience of the endurance athlete to guide leaders toward creating impactful and thriving workplace cultures. Her athletic journey deeply influences her approach to leadership and organizational development, emphasizing balance, perseverance, and the pursuit of excellence. In addition to being the CEO of Canopy Strategies, she's the author of two books, A Perfect Life is Not the Goal, and There's No Such Thing as the Perfect Job. Now, I am going to introduce you to Melissa here. You're going to love her, and she'll give you more information about her background because it's a lot more than I've given you right here. Melissa, how are you today?
I am so excited to be here, Heather. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. So, tell me what I missed, because I did a short bio for you and you've done a lot. Is there anything else that's burning to have a place in the minds of our listeners today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the recognition that the journey you start on as you start your career isn't necessarily where you're going to end up. Because I would tell you, as a 22-year-old coming out of college, I had no vision that I would ever do HR work.
Right.
I had no vision that I would ever have my own business. And so you just never know where it's going to take you. So it's exciting if you are willing to let things sort of happen.
I am a big fan of letting things happen because my internal perfectionist is always trying to have her will with what's going on, but she's tempered through the years and has learned to enjoy whatever door opens for us. So I really like that you're bringing that up because it is part of the journey. And what we're talking about today is all about the journey. It's about the adventure. So what was your journey to entrepreneurship? I know I jumped over a big section of HR, but we can go back to that later.
So it was a two-step process for me to end up in entrepreneurship. One, I had had a long career at Accenture on the internal HR side and decided in 2016 that it wasn't my end game. I didn't know what my end game was, but I, at that point, from a loyalty perspective, I'm like, I'm not going to job search while I'm still there. So I resigned with the intent to figure out, am I going to go out on my own? Because I knew somebody who had. Or am I going to get another job? And so I investigated it and sort of ended up like, for two reasons, I decided it wasn't the right time. I decided, one, I didn't know if I could grow a business, first of all. And two, I still felt like I really wanted to be part of a team. Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and took another internal opportunity, which was wonderful. Fast forward to like February of 2019, and two things happened. One, this friend of mine or colleague who had gone out on their own as a coach, you know, I had always said, I'm going to go do a coaching program. I'm going to get certified. And she had some weekend post on Facebook, something about it. And I'm like, yeah, I've been thinking about it. She's like, Melissa, you've been talking about it now for 2 years, 3 years or whatever. And my mom happens to see it and jumps in on it. Like, so what are you going to do? So lo and behold, I signed up for a executive coaching program. And also around that same time, started thinking about the own business thing again, mm-hmm. and ended up in the mindset of like, I didn't want regrets. And I really thought about it, well, two things. One, from a very non-humble perspective, like, well, lots of people do it. So why can't I do it? And then sort of with the mindset of, I'm going to try this, do the parts of the job that I love the most until one of three things happens. One, I realize I'm not good at it. I can't make any money. Two, it's not fun. Or three, somebody brings me an opportunity that I can't resist. So fast forward a couple months and I went out on my own. And since October 1st, 2019, I haven't really had a regular paycheck.
That
That's the journey.
is the journey. That's why we call it an adventure. Now,
Yes.
I want to talk about expectations. So, what was it like, really, versus what you expected it to be like?
It's funny because as you talk to people and go out, you have all these informational conversations and people tell you the lessons that they learn, et cetera. And you're like, yeah, I get it, I get it, I get it. And it reminded me when I was interviewing for my first job at Anderson Consulting. The woman who was interviewing me said, "Do you understand what a matrixed organization is?" I'm like, "Of course, I understand the definition. So yes, of course I understand it." Until I got into there and I was like, "Oh, that's what you mean by matrixed organization, how it works." It was the same thing with entrepreneurship of, yes, I heard all those things that people were saying, but it really didn't play out quite that way. And it's been a really interesting learning journey.
You know, it always is. And I know that you embrace it, which is fantastic. So now we're going to jump back a little bit because I suspect that this is going to have a place in well how we move forward. So tell me a little bit about your athletic background.
It's really funny. So I grew up in a small town originally, and in that town, everybody played soccer in the fall. They played softball in the spring if they're a girl. They swam in the winter, or excuse me, swam in the summer on the local teams. And I was a winter swimmer, so that was my thing. I was good, not great. Kept swimming until through high school, like a club type of thing. Tried running in high school because all my friends were running cross country. I'm like, I don't really like to run, but they're all doing it, so why don't I do it? I lasted about 2 weeks on the cross country team before I sprained both my ankles, and that was the end of it.
Oh
I
no.
was like, okay, that is not my thing. And so, throughout life, I did this kind of exercise and that, like gym type of stuff or cardio classes. And probably 2012 or so, I joined a year-long wellness program through my chiropractor. And one of the measures, each quarter, you had to do a mile. And however you wanted to do it, walk, skip, jump, run, whatever. And I knew I couldn't run it, but I sort of half ran it, half walked it, and sort of got this mindset like, well, for the next quarter, I want to do it a little bit faster. And so worked on it a little bit. And through that year, ran a little bit, building up a little bit. And it fast forward to Thanksgiving that year. And I said, okay, I think I'm going to try a turkey trot 5K. And it came up to be the day before. And I was with my family. And my mom's like, are you going to this thing or not? And I was like, well, you know what? I know I can walk 5K. So I'll at least do it. So I did it. And it was fun. And I got it done. And then that next April, my daughter was in Brownies. And they were doing the Thin Mint 5K. And I'm like, okay, I'll go. She's going to go. I ran it. And lo and behold, I placed in my age group. Now, it was a really small race. So that was not much to write home about. But I was like, ooh, I can get a medal. I can win something. And that began that sort of competition with myself to say, can I go faster? But also, can I go further? So that June, I ran a 10K. And that fall, I ran my first half marathon.
That's pretty fast.
They don't usually recommend that you sort of make that transition. But I never thought I'd run a marathon. But I over time, I mean, so I've probably run at least 25 half marathons at this point, and trained for my first full marathon in 2018, and made it all the way up to the 20-mile training run. And within the first half mile to a mile, I tripped on a tie on a bridge and fell and ended up with a freak issue that nobody could figure out what it was for 4 months, that sort of postponed that marathon. Fast forward to 2020, and same group was training to do a virtual Marine Corps marathon. And so I'm like, okay, this is my chance. And so I've now done three of them. That's kind of the end for the marathon. I like the shorter distances, but also then picked up doing sprint triathlons along the way as well.
Oh, just picked up
Well, I knew I could swim and I knew I
triathlon.
could run. I'm not a confident biker. Like, that's my weak point for sure. But so that's been a little of the journey of where, how far can I go? Can I go further? So I've done some trail things and some Ragnars, and so it's always sort of pushing the boundaries for me. And
Okay,
I'm not fast, but
I love this for so many reasons. One, you really point out that the competition was a competition with yourself. Now, everybody's going to be different, right? But I felt that that was like, I want to do better than I did last time. And then there was a little bit of the competition with other people. Hey, I could get a medal. So you combine the two. That's kind of fun, right? But it's also the journey of figuring out which is the right thing for you. You know, you wanted to try the marathon and you're like, you know, maybe I don't really like that as much. Maybe the half marathons are my thing. But what I want to ask you is, what was the biggest, I don't know if it was lesson or skill or shift that you got from your athletic journey that directly translated to entrepreneurship?
I think it's a lesson I'm still learning. Like,
Okay.
at the end of the day, to train for something like that or anything, you have to be willing to put in the time and do, whether it's strength work, whether it's just doing the long runs, whatever it is, you have to be disciplined. And I would say I'm generally a disciplined person, but entrepreneurship, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to do some of the things that I know I need to do. And so I think that's the reminder of, if I want the outcome of the marathon or the triathlon or whatever, I know I need to do those things. So if I want the outcome of being a successful entrepreneur, I got to do the things versus doing the fun work that I love to do. I got to do be the CEO of your business work.
Right. The stuff that's not as much fun, right? You know, if it's getting up at 5 to run before work, that's maybe not enjoyable for everyone, but you do it anyway because you want the outcome. Same thing, you pick up the phone or you do the stuff that you don't want to do in business first. It's funny, I told this to on a show a while ago that when I was going through and doing an analysis of my clients, I at one point realized that 85% of my coaching clients were athletes, and I do not coach on athletics, but it's a mindset thing. And so I want to bring that up here again for anyone who didn't hear that show that I did, because it totally translates. And I was so excited in bringing Melissa on here because there are so many elements to, you know, resilience was such a strong part of your story without you saying it. Well, you know, I hurt my ankle, or I did this, or I had to rethink how I was doing it, or and you got back in and did it again. That's the resilience that we really need in entrepreneurship or in any endeavor in business, that if you want to be truly successful at it, right?
Yeah, I think the other thing I would echo that came out of it is, it translates into the entrepreneurship, is figuring out what your way is. So the training group I worked with from a marathon, I had always run my races and just run them. But for the marathon, they were really get everybody through it, like focused on interval training. And I'm like, oh, this is a little weird. I'm not sure I'm good with it. But the interesting thing over time is that I've decided that that's my best way to run. Even if I'm running a shorter distance, if I'm running a 10K or even a 5K, or like my run, this 3 mile run I ran this morning, it was all intervals. And there's times where I judge that of like, okay, should I be doing it? But I'm like, actually, that's the way that works for me. And when I think about my business, I also, there's so many people teaching you to do X, Y, and Z, or this is the strategy. But at the end of the day, you have to figure out what's right for you. What's that authentic? And if I want to be able to run the distances I want to run, then I got to do it my way. And that's another thing that came out of it.
Yes, you know, it's so funny. I just had another conversation this morning about that, about how We're inundated with all of these opportunities to learn and grow. And if you're someone like you and I, and most of the people who listen to this podcast, who you want to grow and you want to do better, you have a million different opportunities to pick things, and you could spend all your time learning. And what we talked about this morning was that you have to activate, right? You narrow it down, choose one, and then take action on that one. And so it's the combination, I think, of the mindset, that, spirit of resilience, and the action, like actually doing the thing, right? Committing to
Exactly.
it. The habit changes, the pattern changes. Now, at some point, you got a little stuck. So do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, there was probably a lot of actually, there's probably a lot of stuck through this journey because it has been a series of ups and downs and really figuring out what did I want it to be, what this business to be. But last year, I mean, I made it through the pandemic because I didn't really know what was going to be. It happened a couple of months after I started. So I was kind of wrote that year of like, it's going to be whatever it is. But then the years after that, things started to happen and I started to see things working out until they didn't. And it was probably late 2022. Had a couple things that were in the pipeline, felt really good that my first quarter, my second quarter were going to look great. And then, a situation happened with one of the clients, and like we no longer have funding, like the priorities have shifted. So that went away. And another client that was ready, 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 and then kind of ghosted me. And that disappeared. And then I had another thing that happened that went well, but then situation of the organization, then they didn't pay me. And there was just all of these things. And, we're going through some personal things of trying to decide, well, who do I want to be when I grow up? And oh, by the way, my business, the things that were coming as referrals weren't coming. And then I didn't know, how do I talk about what I do? Because I'm like, I don't know what I want to do. How do I actually articulate? And I think I was articulating, but people were like, I don't understand what you do. I had a lot of people say that. So last year was really a journey of fig, I started the year of like, this is the year my business is going to take off. It's a business growth year. And it ended up being, no, it was a business retraction year, but it was a personal growth year, really around who do I want to be as a leader? Who do I want to be as a leader of my business? Where do I want to go? And how do I get super clear on who do I want to serve and in what way? And so that has been an evolving process because you look at all the people that are out there and you're like, well, I could do that, except I don't really want to do that. What's my special thing? And we've been really trying to work on like, what am I actually selling? Because I sit at the intersection of talent strategy, leadership coaching, and HR advisory. And I'm like, I'm not an HR person. I'm not just a leadership coach. I'm not just a strategist. I'm like, I'm in that intersection. How do I actually explain that so somebody understands it? How do I understand it? And so that's the fun journey that I have been on over the past several months, for sure.
I love it so much because I went through that recently as well. And when you do it, people out there, they think that if you're in personal development, that you got it down, you got it figured out. The reality is the people who are best at personal development and professional development are in the journey with you, maybe just a few steps ahead of you, right? Because if you get somebody who thinks they have it all figured out, I would be a little bit scared, right? Because the reality is we're human beings in a human journey with external things that happen in the world that adjust what we are going through, right? And how we experience it. So I love that you have been open to that journey. Now, let's talk about, since you've got that sweet spot in the middle, how has your HR career impacted your business as well?
I think really it was at the beginning because when I went out, because I had done so many different things, whether it was M&A or talent strategy work or working in big consulting and tech company, leadership roles, like that was sort of what I used to start with. And I think it's still a core piece of it from a perspective of I worked with so many leaders in that journey. Good, bad, ugly, all in between. And so I feel like I've seen a lot of the things out there and learned a lot of things that I can then apply. People I'm trying to work with now are in much smaller organizations. So some of the strategies may not work. The concepts do, but it's like, how do you implement it? So I think that's foundational for me of how do I help leaders create organizations, A, that hits their business performance and their organizational performance, B, where people want to stay and work and build a career. And ultimately, my tagline is like, I want workplaces that don't suck, because I feel like
I
all of us
love
deserve
that.
to be somewhere that it doesn't feel like that.
That's fantastic. I want to be in a workplace that doesn't suck. Yes, I'm
Because
in.
I hear too many stories. It
Yeah.
sucks. I don't want to be here. I'm like, that doesn't have to be.
No, it really, really doesn't. And you and I both know that. And so, all right. It's from Fear to Fire. So I have to ask. I don't know if you've alluded to it or if you have a different story, but when you're thinking about the fear or the challenge that you overcame and the lesson that you learned from it, where do you want to go in your journey? Which one do you want to share with us?
I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning of my career, because it was that probably the key moment where I say it was that first leap of faith. Because I graduated from college and I got a job with a government consulting firm outside of Washington, D.C. Spent the summer at home doing my summer job, et cetera. Got my first car. You know, I signed a lease with a friend for an apartment. I moved up there in August and I went to the first day of work. And I don't remember if I had ever heard from them during the summer, but I went to the first day of work, showed up, got on the metro, figured that all out, got into the office. And the gentleman said, I'm really sorry to tell you this, but the government consulting contract that you were going to work on didn't get signed. So we don't have a job. Now, that was mind blowing. Now, having been in HR many years later, I'm like, why didn't they contact me? Why did I have to come all the way here for that? Like, lots of questions of, or did they totally forget about me? You know, and, you know, I didn't know enough to know that I should have been following up, whatever. But I remember leaving that office and be sitting in the basement of the Roslyn Metro station, talking to my dad, and like, I don't even know what I'm gonna do. And that fear moment of, I have bills to pay now, like commitments. I'm like, where do I even start? And probably wallowed in that for a little bit. But then I did two things. One, I went and started looking for a retail job because I figured at least I can get something potentially quickly, and got a part-time job working at Nordstrom, which I'd never been exposed to, but I had a friend who happened to be visiting it. And she's like, well, let's go look at Nordstrom. I'm like, oh, I like these things at Nordstrom. So I worked in hosiery and body wear for many years, and it's a part-time job. But I also went back to one of the companies I had interviewed with in college that I didn't get selected for, a local bank in the DC area had a management training program. And I called them up and said, hey, just checking, do you happen to have any opportunities? And this was where luck came in. You know, somebody hadn't taken the offer or reneged on the offer, and they had a slot. So
This is
I
where
started in this
initiative comes
management
in,
training
folks.
program.
Go
And so, I mean, and that was my first exposure. I mean, it was retail banking.
ahead.
So I, you know, got up to be an assistant branch manager and user support, and then I left for a couple of months. But I had done a stint through personnel, and liked the people there. And one of my friends from my start group, she was leaving personnel to go to marketing, and her role was open. So I went back, which started my career in HR.
Oh, this is a great
But
story.
it's funny, when I told my dad I was considering it, he's like, you know, those people in HR or personnel, because it was personnel at that time, they're the ones, if there's a layoff, that they get laid off first. Like, do you really want to do this? So he really tried to talk me out of it, but I took it.
Wow. I absolutely love this story. And just the initiative, the circuitous route that we how we get to where we are, it's just so I love stories. This is why I do what I do, right? So this has been phenomenal, but I got to tell you, this is flying by. I've got about 30 additional questions for you, but we're just going to have to table those for this time, maybe bring you back again. But let me, for our listeners who are dying and chomping at the bit to find out more about you, let me give you the opportunity to share how they can reach you if there's anything that you want to let them know about.
Sure. I think the main place to find me is on LinkedIn, though I do, all my content is on Facebook and Instagram as well. I live on LinkedIn, and I didn't know until I went on my own, I liked writing. And so I've made a practice that I post daily on LinkedIn, and 99% of it is my stuff. Of my points of view around leadership and teams, and whether you're leading yourself or leading others. So that's the best place. If you want to know anything about me, there. I also built a website, Melissa Ryder Carson versus my business website, that holds all of my blog posts. So if you want to go back, that goes back a couple of years now, of just a variety of different topics, and organize them as sort of leading yourself, leading teams, and leading others. And so that's a good way to find me. And then one of the things that I'll share, Heather, with your group is I have a template around really how do you measure success for a year? And not just around the goal piece of it, but like what's it going to take to get there? Like, and what's going to be different when you achieve these things? And who do you need to be? So I will share that with your audience in case
Thank
that
you.
is valuable for them.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, listeners, don't worry. You know, I'm going to throw all of that stuff into the show notes so that you don't have to write it down right now. We'll be able to have a nice quick link for you to go to. Melissa, this has been phenomenal, and you've given us so many great ideas already, and your stories are fantastic. But it's time for those final parting words of wisdom. So, what do you have for us?
And it's funny, I just came across this again. Well, actually, I didn't come across this one, but made me think about it. I've always kept a mouse pad next to my computer, and I always go back to the quote that's on it, which says, "If you want something you never had, you have to do something you've never done." And I think it's Jefferson, who may have said that, or Jefferson Roosevelt, somebody. I keep it there because it really is that reminder back to the, if I want this outcome, I have to do the work. And if I want something, if I want to be a successful entrepreneur at this level, I've never been there. So I'm going to have to shake things up and do things that make me feel uncomfortable. And so I think that's my reminder.
I love it. Big fan of making people uncomfortable, including myself, starting with myself. So thank you, Melissa. Some great stuff here today. Listeners, if you love this show, share it with a friend that you think would also love it. Leave a testimonial, ask us a question, engage with us. You know I love that. So for now, have a beautiful day, and we'll see you again next week.
Thank you.